it's not like parenthood stops when they get older, you know? So it's one of those things to where lessons will be learned and questions will be asked still. And I'm looking forward to that.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
This week's The Art of Fatherhood podcast is being brought to you by HBO Max. My kids went back to school. Summer vacation might be over for them, but that doesn't mean the fun has to stop. We still get to have family movie night together. And thanks to HBO Max, we get a ton of fantastic family movies right at our fingertips. Plus, for date night, my wife and I can watch some cool new movies like Reminiscence, starring Hugh Jackman. No matter what type of movies you and your family are into, you can discover new movies, beloved series, and epic originals that everyone in the household will love. HBO Max is where HBO's fearless and groundbreaking program meets iconic collection of beloved entertainment, including Warner Brothers' larger-than-life storytelling. Not only can you stream movies from your favorite devices, but you can download them and take them on the go. We recently checked out some of the old Batman films starring Michael Keaton, and my kids loved them. Sign up for HBO Max now. Start streaming today using the link hbom.ax/fatherhood. Go now and sign up for HBO Max to start streaming every title I mentioned and so much more. What's up, everybody? Art Eddy here for the Art of Fatherhood podcast online. I'm very happy to have Kenny Thomas. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me, sir. How you doing?
Man, I'm good. Thank you for reaching out, Art. I appreciate it.
Looking forward to chatting with you. And if people follow you on social media, you are living that good fatherhood lifestyle. Plus, we're going to talk about NBA and the good stuff you're doing in different communities. But when you found out you're going to be a dad, Kenny, what was going through your mind, sir?
Oh, Jesus. I have two boys. My oldest is 21. He's actually at the University of Georgetown right now. He graduates next May.
Congrats to him.
Thank you. 2022. And I have a 13-year-old boy named Jeremiah. My oldest is Matthew. I had my youngest back when I was like 23, and I was with the Houston Rockets. So it was an unbelievable thing, one. And here I am, 22, but I'm barely a kid, and I'm about to have another kid. It was pretty amazing, but the nice thing about it was that I had security to be able to take care of him, being able to get drafted. So that was nice.
Nice, man. Thank you very much for sharing that. And, you know, especially playing the NBA, hard work, determination, and, you know, someone who's, you know, sets goals for himself, right? So those are some of the values that obviously you were looking to instill into your sons. One's in college, so you know, like, you know, that hard work is paying off for him. So talk a little bit about some of the other core values you're looking to instill into them.
I mean, my oldest, me and my ex-wife, we've done a good job from the standpoint of giving him that solid foundation to be able to be where he is now and to go into the rest of his life. Now it's one of those times to where he's basically grown in the eyes of the law, to where he's out there and he's on his own. It's not like parenthood stops when they get older, you know? So it's one of those things to where lessons will be learned and questions will be asked still. And I'm looking forward to that and going through the same process with my 13-year-old as well.
Nice. And let's kind of flip the script, because we always feel like we're the ones that should be teaching our kids, right? But they're also teaching us things about life and ourselves in general. So what is something that you would like to share with me that your sons have taught you, either about life or just yourself?
Well, first off, my oldest son, he's getting his degree next year. So I had to get my degree. So that taught me a lot. I actually got my degree in December of 19.
Nice.
I was 25 credits. Thank you. I was 25 credits short. And I actually got it. So my goal was to get my degree before he got his. So he can't talk about me not having my degree or tease me, you know what I'm saying?
And that competitive spirit, right? It's like, you're not going to outdo me, son. I'm going to take care of this first, right?
Yeah. And then the same competitive spirit comes with business, you know what I mean? So it's kind of the same thing, especially with Magic Johnson being my mentor, and us having the same business attorney and Ken Harris and Associates in Charlotte, North Carolina. It's just been a nice experience, and just, I have so many different things coming. It's just so exciting. You got to check out KennyThomas.com too.
Yeah, we're definitely
going to keep plugging that.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that. And also, too, while you're on the interwebs, make sure you're checking out Kenny Thomas NBA on Twitter. And you're also on Instagram as well, but you can get all the good stuff over at KennyThomas.com. Yeah. One more question before we get into your time in the NBA. Like you said, you have a son in college, you have a son who's 13. So talk about, with your experience, I think you're a great person to ask this, for new dads, for guys who just found out they were going to be a dad. What is one big piece of advice you'd like to offer to them?
Ooh, pull up your britches. It's going to be a roller coaster. I don't have any girls, but I'm pretty sure that'd be way worse. but just a lot comes with fatherhood and being a parent, you know what I mean? It's so many different things that's always going to continue to evolve, I think. And you just got to be open to the idea of different things that's just going to come. It's just going to be random. You never know. And what's so nice, these kids, it's like we have our own personalities, right? I mean, eventually their kid is going to go through puberty from the standpoint of things are going to change. And I think it's one of those things you still have to lay down the law to a certain extent, but you have to embrace it as well.
Well said. Appreciate you sharing that. And big fan of the NBA. Of course, we just recently saw the Bucks win the championship. I'll get your thoughts on that in a second, but talk to me about your transition from college to, you know, the pros. I feel like, especially with college basketball and going into the NBA, there is that excitement, of course, with college basketball. But then obviously the talent pool gets a lot heavier and thicker, right? When you go in the NBA, everyone's got the skills. That's why they're there. So what is like what was the transition from college to the NBA for you?
That's a great question. I would say, first off, you're in college, you're playing older men that are older than you, but it's a little different. But it's like when you get to the NBA, it's a totally different world because everybody that's on that bench can pretty much play. That's why they're in the NBA to a certain extent. It's unfortunate that guys don't get an opportunity to stay in as long as they want, but it kind of comes with the territory, right? So it was hard for me to a certain extent coming out of college because I was used to playing and then always playing. And then you come to the NBA and then it's like, whoa. You got Charles Barkley, I got Hakeem Olajuwon, and another like Stacey Ogman, and you had some other guys that came from Portland and the Scottie Pippen trade that year. Pippen went to Portland, and then like six or seven guys came over, and Carlos Rogers, and I'm just trying to figure out where I fit in, and at the same time, I'm making $600,000, so what the hell do I have to complain about? You know what I mean? So. So,
but again, just sorry to interrupt, but like the competitive spirit, like you said, you had that idea in college, and then you're at the NBA for a reason, for many reasons, right? But talent, and obviously you want to play, so the tenacity, you just want to be there, is like shining through right there. So yeah, and just because you're making the money, but it's like you have that passion for the game, and like you're like, I got drafted, I want to play, so I can definitely see that, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, come on, you're going to training camp with Charles Barkley and Hakeem Olajuwon and some of those other guys I said, like, come on, instantly, those guys are going to play in front of me, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I didn't play my first 45, 50 games of my rookie year, and then I started playing, and then next thing you know, I became a starter, and I was a starter for like 8 or 9 years out of my 11 years in the NBA, so... I mean, I cannot complain. I had to wait my turn, you know what I mean? And my turn came, and it was very beneficial, and here I am, life after basketball. So
nice. Yeah, you're doing a lot of great things, which we'll get into in a second. What are you most proud of with your NBA career when, you know, you kind of look back and...
Everything. There's not one thing that stands out more than the other. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. it was all priceless. You know, I mean, I never thought I was good enough to go to the NBA first off. Okay. So next thing you know, I'm getting drafted and here I am playing with some of the greatest guys that are in the Hall of Fame right now. You know what I mean? The guys that are in the NBA now, they didn't get a chance to play against those guys. I played against Michael Jordan when he was an owner of the Wizards and he was playing. You know what I mean? Like, like there's a lot, it was all priceless. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's not one thing. I know the direction you're probably going to go with that, but man, 11 years and I just had a phenomenal time.
So I'm a kid from the 80s and 90s growing up. I'm 40. And I'm to the other side of this office is just sneakers. I'm a big Jordan fan, like David Robinson, all the different sneakers, right? Mm-hmm. E.S. Reebok and all that stuff, like the Pumps, D. Brown. And maybe it's a little biased because of the 80s and 90s, you know, early 2000s. I was just like so into it. But no, that, I mean, that's that was good. An
You're
awesome
fine.
Cut.
Trust me. That was my error. You're good.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, that was like, I loved, I was watching the NBA, you know, finals and all that stuff between the Bucks and the Suns and all that. It was kind of cool to see, you know, those two teams kind of return. It wasn't just like the same old teams, you know, making it to there. But like that era, what I just talked about, that was one heck of an era because I felt like every player, every team had stacks of good players on there. Not saying it does now. I'm not saying like the players are great now, but I felt like it was different, right?
Oh, totally different. And I think the game was different. The game is totally changing from the standpoint of more points, and it's not necessarily defense, I think. It's getting to the point to where people at the three-point line where it is now, they're talking about moving the three-point line back, which would not be a bad idea, you know?
Yeah.
It's just a different game now. Steph, I think he came in and changed that whole culture of being able to shoot from half court and things like that. Not that LeBron didn't do it, but Steph just took it to a whole nother level. And I was able to play against his dad, Dell, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which was
yep.
a great shooter too.
Yep.
So that's why I said that 80s, 90s, that 80s, 90s era when I came in, I totally agree with you. It was phenomenal. It was freaking unreal.
Dell Curry was like your ultimate guy. You have the wingman on NBA Jam because his three-pointer was great.
Yep. Yeah, or Sean Elliott.
Yes, for David Robinson.
You know what I mean?
Spurs.
I played against him too. Like
everything about that era, man. I really enjoy it. So it's such an honor to chat with you. One more question before we kind of get into your community service and the things that you're doing in the community and just helping other people. Giannis, you see in the Bucks, they win. What's your take on? Because you know everyone's like, okay, maybe he can't shoot threes. The whole free throws when he's like at a different, you know, when he's away, it's tough, but. What do you think about, like, what's your take on the Bucks winning the championship and seeing Giannis do really well?
The Milwaukee Bucks, I think they're a great franchise. I think it's one of those markets that's not as big as, like, L.A. or one of those other big markets like New York. So to a certain extent, they might get underlooked. But the fact that Giannis stayed there is very smart on his part. It shows the person that he is by that integrity. That's the word I want.
Nice.
I think integrity as far as being able to stay there and doing what he's done. It wasn't just him, but the fact that Chris had a great playoffs. And at the same time, it was supposed to be the big three. Drew didn't play that good. But at the same time, Chris stepped up in clutch at the end. The fact that I think that Giannis, from a standpoint of shooting, I think it sometimes – could be a mental aspect of the thing of the game that just plays a part because you just want to – he has a lot of pressure on him because he's a franchise player, you know?
Yeah.
So there's a lot that comes with that, and it's one of those things where he stepped up. Like, you know he's going to drive. You know he's going to this. You know he's going to do the same thing, but you just can't stop him to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Because he's so athletic. And the way he shot free throws, I think he didn't miss not one free throw. In game six. So that was huge. Because I think he shot more free throws than actual Suns basketball.
Yeah.
So.
And the thing of it was, too, is like when he was nailing those free throws, I just started laughing out loud. And my wife's like, what? I'm like, just the idea of like him just like everyone thought that was his Achilles heel. It's like game six. I'm closing it out. That's what, you know, all-stars do. They just close out the game. They don't want to make a game seven. So I love that. Before we get into the Fatherhood Quick Five, people go to KennyThomas.com. And of course, put up links here at OurFatherhood.net. You do a lot of great things for the community. You're on different organizations and boards, making sure that everyone has a voice. So just talk about some of the things that you're doing in different communities, because I think not only is it a great example for, you know, your sons to see what you're doing by paying it forward and using your name, but it's also great for people to understand what you're doing and maybe how they can help.
I went to the University of Mexico in Albuquerque. I'm actually on the board for ALS New Mexico, which is the muscle disease. I'm also on the board for the Greater African American Chamber here in New Mexico. And I just got appointed through UNM, where I went to college, Black Leadership. I just got a board position there.
Congrats.
Thank you. And at the same time, I'm creating a partnership with the Bernalillo County here for some programming for like basketball, 3-on-3 tournament, and some tournaments locally for the kids to where they can see that an NBA player can actually come out of here. I'm not from here, but they claim me. It's one of those things that the community is huge here because people that are older know me, and at the same time, they have kids that are younger to where they can get to know me, you know what I mean, and know what I'm about. And I'm creating a partnership with Stephen Michael Quesada, who's the county commissioner here, who's a good friend of mine. He was in Breaking Bad. We're looking at doing some programming on the west side. Yeah, he was the he's the Latino dude with the goatee.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I'm looking at doing some other stuff, having some basketball tournaments for kids. I just had one in the city of Belen, New Mexico, which is right outside of Albuquerque. We just had like 130 teams, boys and girls, basketball teams, to where they can play. And we gave them trophies, and I was there taking pictures with them and things like that. So those things are going to continue. And just looking forward to doing some more programming with the city. It's just not here in New Mexico. It's Sacramento. I have a partnership with the private school there to where we're doing some stuff. And I'm looking at going into the Houston and Philadelphia market as well. And I'm on the World Sports Alumni Association.
Yeah.
I'm a part of that board too. Like Nick Anderson and those guys are a part of that organization. It's 300 plus past and current athletes.
Nice.
So it's giving us all athletes an opportunity to expand and grow business-wise or current athletes.
Love to see what you're doing, and I appreciate the hard work. I just got to ask you another follow-up question. How have you created so much more time? Can you help us out? Because it seems like you're doing everything, man. I love it. What's your downtime?
There isn't any. Actually, I'm about to go to this Hydro Bar. It's called Hydro Bar here in New Mexico to see if there's some opportunities there. I'm starting my agency, my sports agency, my name, image, and likeness agency that for these college nice. Kids. It just got passed here in the state of New Mexico July 1 this month. So I'm starting that with an attorney friend here of mine, and I'm going to go talk to another guy that actually has a podcast, and he's hosting it at the Hydro Bar, to where I'm going to get the word out about some other things that I'm doing on a podcast too as well.
Another That's
one.
Awesome.
I have another
and,
one.
And the name, image, and likeness, especially for someone who's been in the limelight, been in the NBA, played in college, I think that is just a fantastic idea. So kudos to you on that, man. Well done, sir. That's great.
Thank you. I have a PPE company, KPD Global Solutions. You know, the COVID supplies, gloves, gowns, we have all of that.
And again, I appreciate you doing that company for, you know, to keep everybody safe. I wish a lot more people were trying to be safe. So I appreciate
that. Yeah. Thank you. And what's about to happen? It's not looking good. There's some mandates coming back in for masks in like Vegas and California where I live, Sacramento still, and like New York. So
the only thing I was freaking
to say it, it's going to be good for me.
The only thing that was freaking me out during the NBA finals was the Deer District. I was like, what's going on? Everybody's out there, Mike.
Yeah.
But
imagine how many people are not vaccinated, bro.
Yeah. Mind you. Now we're going to finish off with the Fatherhood Quick Five because I know time is precious for you. Favorite family movie? Do you guys have one?
What's so crazy? I love movies. I was raised up on them. I was raised on them. My dad would go to Blockbuster and buy the movie, and we have another VHS recording it. Yeah, to where we can go back and watch them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I also own a script to a movie, and it's about reparations. And this is like the perfect time for that right now.
Yeah.
So I'm working with the state and some other people to see. Because Netflix is here in New Mexico.
Oh, nice.
Love so it, man. We got some big actors and actresses that's interested. I can't really say their names right now, but
gotcha.
Some huge people.
Nice, man.
So,
favorite artist, or is there a band you couldn't wait to introduce your kids to when they got to a certain age to appreciate it?
I mean, Beyonce, I would love to meet. No, I met her when she was a Destiny Child, but meeting her now would be nice.
Cool. Describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be?
I don't know. Hawaii.
Cool. Okay, like I mentioned earlier, I'm a sneakerhead. So what was your favorite pair of like sneakers to play in?
My favorite pair, I was a Converse guy because at UNM we were Converse right away and they offered me the most money.
Nice.
And then I was with Adidas and then I was with Nike towards the end.
Okay.
So I'm a little all over the place.
Gotcha.
But I love sneakers too. I almost opened up a sneaker store. Thank God I didn't. It was like 4 or 5 years ago. I'd be like in hell right now. And at the same time, I just love shoes, man.
Yeah.
I'm a shoe.
And lastly,
I probably shouldn't have said that. Probably should have said hoarder, but shoe.
There you go. No, it's all good, man. And lastly, top three words you hope your kids would use to describe you as a dad. What would they be?
Big heart.
Nice. Very cool.
I hope. I don't think that they would agree, but I hope.
Well, everything that you're doing, especially, you know, talking about father, all the good stuff you're doing in different aspects of your life and helping out other people, I think that would be great. So people, make sure you follow Kenny on Twitter at KennyThomasNBA. Go to KennyThomas.com. Thank you so much. Again, people who listen to this, they know you're such a busy guy. So taking, you know, this time to chat with me, I really appreciate it. I wish you and your family continued success, sir.
Of course, man. Thank you. And on Instagram is KennyThomasNBA as well.
Cool.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to artoffatherhood.net.